Part 1. Fathers. Where are the tombs of dead gods? What wailing mourner pours wine over their grave mounds? There was a time when a being known as Zeus was king of all the gods, and any man who doubted his might and majesty was a heathen and an enemy. But where in all the Imperium is there the man who worships Zeus? And what of Huitzilopochtli? 40,000 maidens were slain in sacrifice to him, their dripping hearts burned in vast pyramid temples. When he frowned, the sun stood still. When he raged, earthquakes destroyed entire cities. And when he thirsted, he was watered with oceans of blood. But today, Huitzilopochtli is magnificently forgotten. And what of his brother, Tezcatlipoca? The ancients believed that Tezcatlipoca was almost as powerful as his brother. He consumed the hearts of almost 30,000 virgins a year. But does anyone guard his tomb, or know where it is to be found? Does anyone weep or hang mourning wreaths upon his graven image? And what of Balor of the Eye, or the Lady of Cythera, or of Dis, whom the Romani Quasar found to be the chief god of the Keltos, or the dreaming serpent Kajura? Of Taranis, only dimly recalled by a dead order of knights and early historians of unity, or the flesh-hungry King Nzambi, or the serpentine hosts of Crom Cruach, driven from their island lair by the priest of Ravenglass? Where are their bones? Where is the tree of woe upon which to hang memorial garlands? In what forgotten abode of oblivion do they await their hour of resurrection? They are not alone in eternity, for the tombs of dead gods are crowded. Eurysix is there, and Isis, and Baldur, and Silvana, and Mithras, and Phoenicia, and Diva, and Kratos, and Uxellimus, and Borvo, and Granos, and Mogons. All mighty gods in their day, worshipped by billions, replete with demands and commandments, ascribe the power to bind the elements and shake the foundations of the world. Civilizations labored for generations to build vast temples to them, towering structures of stone and steel, fashioned by technologies now lost in the unknowing of old night. Interpreting their divine desires fell to thousands of holy men, lunatic priests, dung-smeared shamans, and opium-ravaged oracles. To doubt their pronouncements was to die in agony. Great armies took to the field to defend the gods against infidels and carry their will to heathen peoples in far-off lands. Continents were burned, innocents butchered, and worlds laid waste in their name. Yet in the end, they all withered and died, cast down and justly unremembered. Today, there are few so deranged as to do them reverence. All were gods of the highest eminence, many of them mentioned with fear and trembling awe in the ancient texts of the White God. They ranked with the highest power, yet time has trampled them all underfoot and mocks the ashes of their bones. They were gods of the highest dignity, gods of civilized peoples, worshipped by entire worlds. All were omnipotent, omniscient, and immortal. And all are dead. If any of them ever really existed, they were but aspects of the true pantheon, masks behind which hide the first gods of the universe in all their terrible beauty. Lorgar has been vociferous in his proselytizing of this fact, wearily so. But he does not know as much as he believes. Imperial truth, primordial truth, both are irrelevant. There is a god who has raised himself higher than all the others, mightier than any imagined deity or hell-spawned monster dreamed into being. He is the Emperor. My father. And I have to kill him. That is the only truth that matters.